Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonathan Peterlin and 92.3 The Fan and Seaside Events wants to send you on the Browns Fan Cruise March 3rd through the 7th in 2025. Tune in weekdays at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m. to hear the cruise code word, then enter the code word at 92.3thefan.com by the end of that hour to get it entered to win, reserve your spot on the 2025 Browns Fan Cruise at brownsfancruise.com. Use code word THEFAN2025 to save $200. Brought to you by Spirit Airlines, Seaside Events, and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. So we got to the Cavs earlier, and part of the reason why I wanted them to get the 9-0 record, the fastest start in franchise history record, was because I just like this team so much. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a part of me that I'm starting to jones for them to be represented historically in how people think about the Cavs, in a way that whether you know what record is in the Cavs history, I think most people, even in Cleveland, are like, LeBron probably owns it.
Yeah, most records you think LeBron just owns
it.
I think that's everyone everywhere.
But the more I thought about that, and they did accomplish that last night, it was super cool to see, because they didn't play their best basketball lights. Like, when you win those kind of games, those wins impress me as much as blowing a team out by 50.
Did they acknowledge it in the press conference afterwards? Or?
Yeah, I think they did, because I think Kenny Atkinson was asked about it, and he kind of did the thing of like, I don't know what it means.
I was wondering if he was even aware of it, you know, if he was even like, oh yeah, that's with respect to Bingo Smith and all those guys. I didn't know the route he went.
But I do think, like, the more I thought about that, the more I realized, like, the LeBron stuff is so special. And so this is not, I hate the thing that happens in sports talk where you start to tear down one thing to make the other thing good.
Yeah, you're not just trying to cover up LeBron.
I feel about this team the way I felt, and again, it's tough because I'm looking at it revisionist, but the way that I felt of like the Mark Price and Doherty and Nance Cavs, where that was just those guys, they were just so lovable. They were so nice. They were so, they're such good teammates. And I just, like, I'll be honest with you, like, everything else in Cavs history gets blotted out by LeBron. That, like, that's like, at some point, I hope this team can make a push so that LeBron will always be the first thing people think of with the Cavs, the Cavs championship and, you know, Cavs basketball.
Right.
But that it won't be an afterthought, which I do feel like all the previous great teams tend to be.
I like this team. I like how this team kind of, it developed and it kind of came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden you fast forward and we're acquiring Donovan Mitchell, and then it's just a real push. And now you're developing Evan Mobley, and it's just all, I think the surprise of it all is the part that I relish in the most. The idea that we were supposed to be off in this basketball wasteland for a million years, and you fast forward and it's been a few years removed from LeBron, and now we're going to be the number two team in the East. Like, yeah. Now we're talking about this team as being one of the best teams in basketball.
So I think that's where some of this is coming from.
We were left for dead, Nick.
And they built it the right way.
Yeah.
That's, to me,
it,
like,
took time.
Like, this is,
but not like 12 years.
Well, but like, okay, they built it the right way. But they, when I say built it the right way, because clearly there's some flaws in the actual build, but it was a slow, linear kind of thing. They're like, if you watched Darius in his rookie year, if you watched, you know, year two, or if you watch whatever it is, if you were there for the bad basketball, you get to say, I've been here on this journey. And that is a different thing when you get to experience that with a team. It feels more yours. Whereas even when LeBron came back, yeah, he was ours, but he was everybody else's. And Kevin Love was here because of LeBron, and Kyrie was ours, but, you know, he was Kyrie.
Yeah,
but
there were people that were watching the Cavs that have no...
Yes.
There's no fandom to the Cavs.
Yeah, they're front runners. They're LeBron fans or Kevin Love fans.
And they'll follow them anywhere and everywhere, and they have. There aren't too many people that were lining up for Colin Sexton versus Darius Garland debates.
Yeah, so where I'm at is... And, oh, by the way, even the Donovan thing, which brought its own complications, Like, that's going to go down as the best trade. Like, I think it'll go better than the Kevin Love trade. I think it'll go down better than the Larry Nance trade. Like, think of the truly great trades this organization's
made. In basketball history, it's just not something that you're supposed to see.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of this is made possible because he stayed.
And then the extension, obviously.
Yeah. Like, if he stays another 5 years, and so that's, what, 7 years in Cleveland? Like, that will go down in basketball history, depending on what you win. As like that's going to be something that people mention. I don't think it'll ever be the greatest trade in basketball history, but it'll be thing no. when people talk about, oh my God, teams had the cojones to do this, and look what they pulled off.
It's not just cojones; it's the idea that teams and markets like ours weren't supposed to be able to have players yes. like that. You either drafted him like he's Evan Mobley, and that was it, and you had to make sure that you drafted and you got it nailed right with the draft, and that's the only way you're going to have a superstar. And they're just showing that's not true.
So I think there are some people in town who want. Who want this team to outshine LeBron's teams. And I think that's just, you don't like LeBron, which is fine.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just don't want them to be completely in the shadow. And I think that's what, like, last night was a part of that, of, like, carving your own path here. And in the end, I know you can win a championship, and to some degree, you're going to be in LeBron's shadow. But...
If they win a title, though, I think there'll be a lot more people that like this title more than the LeBron title. Even though the LeBron title was the first.
Did you use the word a lot? Because I disagree with the amount.
What, you think it'd be like a 50-50 split?
No, the 2016 title is the first championship in Cleveland in 50 years, and it's the prodigal son. Like, I think more people still like LeBron than
the
minority.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I think it would be as surprising to anyone. That if it actually happened, like if you took down the Celtics and you got that all accomplished based off of the build and everything like that, because the LeBron title wasn't necessarily a surprise. Even though you took down the Warriors, who were in the middle of their own dynasty, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, it wasn't a dynasty yet. They were just the defending champions that second year.
But
right?
They were in the middle of what turned out to be a dynasty. Yeah. They won 3 out of 4 years. They were in the middle of what turned out to be a dynasty. But even within that, that wasn't a surprise. I think a lot of people, you played with the expectation there. Like, I don't have an expectation of this Cavs team winning a title.
So let's go back to, because this is just kind of coming to me as we're talking about this.
Yeah.
So if this team is to the Celtics what the Celtics were to LeBron's Cavs teams in the 2010s, are we going to remember this in a way that is in any where the same league is what the LeBron teams did?
You mean if they get a title and they go, what do you mean?
Remember how, I mean, the Celtics were the second best team in the Eastern Conference for most of that stretch. But everything was, you can't get over the hump. And you didn't get over the hump. Well, okay, you didn't get over the hump in the big picture for 4 years after LeBron left. But like, it really took LeBron leaving the East for the Celtics to make the finals again. Was that 2 or 3 years later?
Yeah, I don't know that Cavs fans will sit back and think about that being the greatest thing we've ever seen, though.
Well, but it's not the greatest. It's just being will this be seen as the second best iteration of the Cavs? Beyond, so I'm talking about the Richfield boys, the blue and orange guys. Like to me, that's what because it's almost like the Golden State thing. Like, I don't know. I just can't see a world in which this thing catches LeBron and LeBron's Cavs because it's not global. It's not.
Well, and that's the difference. That's why I think, like, when we talked about this before the show, it was like, is this local or is this global? Because on the global stage, MJ, when you say MJ, you thought Chicago, right? Like, that was an instant thing. Yeah. You could be anywhere in the world, and you'd say MJ, and they'd be like, oh, Chicago Bulls. That's the same thing with LeBron right now. Like, you say LeBron, and, you know, people in Peru are like, oh, Cleveland Cavaliers.
They might be like the LA Lakers now. But like, like 10 years from now, I think it's the Cavs because he played most of his career here.
I think it's going to be his long-standing legacy, don't you?
I think it's different than Michael because...
It's very different than Michael.
Because Michael played 90% of his career.
He hopped around, but I still think at the end of the day, I think more people remember him as a Cav than they will a Laker
even a Miami Heat. We're just going to continue to compare it to other teams. Like the Derrick Rose teams, Bulls fans look back on that as what could have been, right? And they had a couple seasons there
won the MVP.
Yeah, by and large, no one's like, remember that team that almost had a chance to push Jordan? Now that was six titles versus one.
Yeah, I was gonna say the amount of titles there is a big difference in that discussion.
Well, but I think that's where we are with this team. Because long term, we can start talking about these pieces are gonna play together for a while. And I think that's what starts to make this interesting about how can all of a sudden this organization climb out of the shadow of LeBron if it's anything other than a title.
I know, but the part that gets me is that as we're going through this, I'm like, well, this team's never going to make it to four straight titles. Four straight finals appearances, excuse me. Like, they're never, it seems like it's a mountain that you can't climb.
So there's that, which is catching. I'm really just thinking about staying power. Which is from a staying power, like how can this become?
Oh, do I think one day we're going to look at Evan Mobley in a better light than fans look at Kyrie Irving? Yes, I do think we have an opportunity to get there.
It's never
going to touch LeBron, but do I think we can get to the other pieces around this Cavs team being treated or being looked at as in better light or even more favorable light than some of the other really important parts of 2016? Yeah, I do.
216-474-0092. What does this team have to do to at least, I don't want to say there's no climbing out of the shadow of LeBron, right? And I'm talking about internally here, but to get to a point where it's not a absolute shutdown conversation that this team, what they've accomplished is within the general vicinity of what's special, what LeBron did the second time, and really just LeBron and Cleveland in general. More on that in Brad Nickar next on 92.3 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.